Today's scripture reading is Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 17. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, enslaved and free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, church. Again, good morning, I guess. Welcome to worship this morning. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I get to serve as the senior pastor here at First Church. I'm delighted to welcome you to worship. I was thinking about how, it's kind of full in here for a summer Sunday, honestly. And I thought, is it the sports? Is everyone having like religious experiences around all of the sporting events this weekend? Like, if you're a Knicks fan, then you're still on a religious high from last night. And if you're a Spurs fan, then you're here to lament. And if you're a UT baseball fan, it is prayers of desperation at this point, right? So everyone has something to bring to the Lord today, all of the fans. But I am glad that you're a part of worship today on this Sunday as we pause in the midst of our busy days and busy weekends and busy lives and say, I'm not too busy for this, right? We pause to not just give lip service to what we say is important, but to take the time to pay attention to how God is showing up in our lives and in the world. Last week, we just opened up our summer worship series called Chosen Family, as you can see. We are exploring our relationships, especially with those whom sociologists call fictive kin. Fictive kin is the kind of official way of saying chosen family. Those who come into our lives who are not part of our blood family or our legal family, but who become like family to us in one way or another. They are the pieces of the puzzle that help us, they help to meet our need for connection, for many different types of connection that help us to build wholeness in our lives. So built into this notion of chosen family is the belief that the family that you are born into, no matter how great that family is, no matter how big that family is, they are still not going to be enough for you to build a full life. Our families can provide many gifts, but they cannot meet our every need for connection. We need others. We collect others, neighbors, pets, friends of all different kinds and from different pockets of our lives. So today, as we are just still kind of getting started in this summer series, before we go too far with this, I want to talk today about the family that you didn't choose. The family that you were born into. And, or, the family that you were adopted into. And I want to start in the fitting room. A few years ago, my own children reached a critical preteen stage where it no longer worked for me to pick out their clothes for them. That was so nice. I didn't realize how good I had it for those years. But it became harder to guess their size and to satisfy their narrowing window of acceptable fashion choices. And so I entered a new phase of parenting. Many of you know it or have known it. Parenting that one does from outside of the fitting room. With three kids, I began to spend enough time in the hallway of the fitting room that I began to snap pictures of myself in the mirror at the end of the hallway and send them to my friends. So I've shared a few of them. My kids were really embarrassed by the outfit I wore that day. But I have a lot of these, y'all, and I send them to my friends and say, here I am again, back in the fitting room. So as I stood there time after time, waiting for a child to emerge with a new outfit on, I began to remember just how much parenting my own mother did from the other side of the fitting room door. I remember afternoons as a teenager writhing and wrangling my changing body into clothes that I so wanted to wear, but that simply did not want to wear me. I remember the struggle and the frustration of it. It was such a cute outfit in the picture. Why didn't it also come with the body of the model that was in the picture? And my mom would stand on the other side of the fitting room door, and she would say, "You can't choose what body you are given. All you can do is choose what you put on it." Her point was that trying to wear clothes that did not work well for my body type was not going to change what I was given. It was only going to make me more and more frustrated. I needed to accept what I was given and to learn to work from there. You can't choose what body you are given. All you can do is choose what you put on it. Each of us enters this world in the context of some kind of family situation, some set of relationships. Sometimes those circumstances set us up for a smooth path early in life. Some are brought into a family that matches societal norms and expectations, where we feel comfortable and at home, and we develop a deep sense of unconditional love and connectedness to others. But sometimes the circumstances that we are given are just hard. Some of us grow up in families where trauma and addiction rule the day and where safety is hard to come by. Some have parents whose own life circumstances have left them with little time and few emotional resources to offer to their children. Siblings who make life hard. Broken relationships, violence, just plain abandonment. This is the truth of how many, many in this room began to learn what it is to live, to survive, to be connected to others. Even for those in the best of circumstances, there are struggles and there is pain. All of us are affected by what we did or did not learn from our families of origin about love and conflict and obligations and expectations. The truth is that every one of us has wounds. Wounds that we can trace back to those earliest days, our earliest relationships. We are all in need of healing. And most of us navigate pain and disappointment and struggle even to this day with those relationships. There is wisdom in what my mom told me again and again in that fitting room, that the greatest gift that we can offer ourselves begins with acceptance of our reality, the body we've been given, the family we've been given. We begin with acceptance that our family situation may have come with great gifts and with great pains, the things that we are grateful for and things that we are ashamed of. things that we celebrate and things that we lament. To come to healing and wholeness in our need for connection, that begins with honestly naming and radically accepting what is true. Letting grace pour into the cracks and the broken places of our lives. I read a reflection not too long ago by a woman who is in her 60s, and she said, healing starts with the desire to be healed. The challenge is finding the patience and investment to allow the healing piece by piece. She said, it has taken years after my mother's passing to forgive her anger and to realize her mental illness was her burden, not her choice. My blessed recipe, she said, has been a whole lot of continuing prayer, good therapy, and a dear husband and family. Healing the wounds of our early lives, it is possible. And if you find yourself desiring to experience that healing, I hope that you will take that desire as a nudge of the Holy Spirit, drawing you step by step into wholeness. Finding a therapist or a spiritual director or even just a good friend to begin sorting that out with you, it is a worthwhile step. And I hope that you will take it this week. You can't choose what body you are given, but you can choose the clothes you put on it. The writer of Colossians here tells us to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now, to be clear, this is a letter written to the church, and he's talking about how to approach relationships with one another as the body of Christ. But I think that all of this can easily apply to our familial relationships. Pay attention to what the scripture does not say. It doesn't say, as God's holy and beloved ones, make sure to be right as often as possible. Right? It doesn't say, be swift to identify when others make mistakes and make haste to point them out. It doesn't say, keep track of one another's failures and never stop trying to change others. We all know better most of the time. No, the scripture says that it all starts with you. Well, it really starts with God. It starts with the new possibilities that God is giving to you. You see, you can't choose your body, but you can choose your clothes. And in Christ, you have been given a whole new wardrobe. So maybe you didn't choose your family, but you can choose how you will show up with them, what you'll be wearing, so to speak. God gives you lots of new pieces to choose from. So clothe yourselves first with these things. Put on a base layer of compassion. That's like your underwear. And then put on a layer of humility. Accessorize with kindness and wherever you can, add a pop of patience. He says, these are the things that you are going to need. Do you hear that? You're going to need this. You're going to need to be wearing these things in order to bear with one another, in order to practice forgiveness, in order to find anything like peace or perfect harmony. And I know I say perfect harmony, and I know you're thinking, oh, Taylor, you don't understand. You don't know these people. With my family, this is not possible. But the truth is, these acts of healing, offering forgiveness, finding peace, they are possible even with family members who have passed on, even with those with whom you can no longer be connected. That old serenity prayer, it isn't just for addicts, you know. It's one that any one of us can pray, whether we do it in the fitting room or in the family room. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I do believe that each of us needs a chosen family, that God intends for us to grow a network of love beyond that which we are given early in our lives. But I also believe that our oldest relationships hold a unique power in our lives. And God can use those families, those relationships, for great healing and growth. So friends, as you seek wisdom and pursue love in some form toward those family members, I pray that you would remember your new wardrobe that you are being given each and every day, and that you would dress in the style of love. Amen.